presence. It's always a privilege to be in your presence. Thank you, our Father and our God, for yet another day, another opportunity you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for today. We commit to this teaching and prayer session into your hands, that you take absolute control, Lord. Father, meet us at our point of need. As we consider this topic today, the dangers of favoritism, we ask, Lord, that you will help us. That, Lord and God, many of us who may have been guilty of this, you will have mercy on us, you will deliver us. And our God, we will start on a new leaf. So, Lord, we ask for your spirit of understanding to lead us even in this study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll be taking our scripture reading from the book of James chapter 2, 1 to 13. James chapter 2, 1 to 13. It says, my brethren, hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Verse 2. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes. 3. And you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, you sit here in a good place. And say to the poor man, you stand there or sit at my footstool. Verse 4. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? 5. Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich man oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. 11. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. And 13. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Praise the Lord. Brethren, this evening we've been given the assignment to share with us the danger of favoritism. I decided to add S, the dangers, not just because it's not the only one, that it's a dangerous thing. The dangers of favoritism. And we have just read the book of James chapter 2, because we are still on the book of James. That's part of our study theme for this period. And the theme for this period we are looking at is putting faith to work. And we are looking at the book of James. And the topic precisely is the dangers of favoritism. We've read the scriptures, James 2, 1 to 13. And what is favoritism? Simply put, it's like showing favor to some people. It's like partial favor. That's in the simplest way. Partial favor. Favor that is not justified. It's like unjustified favor. You are giving something to somebody who does not even deserve it. It's not his due. So it's like unjustified favor. I will say, so favoritism is the act of giving unfair treatment to one or group at the expense of another. And I would also say that it has to do with unfair preferential treatments. You select this one, you leave this one. And what's your yardstick? And what's your reason? And what's the basis for the selection and the rejection? And the choice you are making is based on favoritism. We will share quite a number of examples from the scriptures and from daily living. A number of times, as a lecturer in the university system, I give assignment to some students. Say, please go. This particular thing is available in the library here. Just go and get it, and do it and come back. And what happens is that the first set of persons who get there, they remove the book. If it's in education or if it's in social studies or social sciences, they go and keep it in physics, so that only they and their friends will be making having access to it. Anytime they like, they say, "You want to? I know where it is. I will tell you where it is." Is that not evil? And you are in the church. That's just one example, and we have it everywhere. So, we want to discuss a number of things which I have listed here, and it manifests either in the home, in the school, in the church, and in the wider society. Favoritism manifests itself. And the most classical example of favoritism which we have in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3 and 4. Genesis 37. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a tunic of many colors. Verse 4. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. That was not from outside, but from a home. So, if as parents, when you begin to make distinctions and begin to have favorites, you are sowing the seed of discord and problems. That was the genesis of our friend's Joseph's problem. That was the genesis. So if you read from that 37 on to 38 and all that, eventually, of course, you know how he had to be. In fact, some say, let us even kill him. To begin with, after this, he had his dreams. Uh-huh. So now, we saw this, and he was in a dream, and he saw, in other words, we'll be bound before you. And so on and so forth. And that was the foundation of the hatred he incurred from his brothers. Not from outside, in a home. So, brethren, favoritism can also manifest in a home. And as parents, do you have favorites? If you do, you have to begin to repent. Because we have seen, apart from that, this classical example, there are some homes where some of the brothers and sisters cannot relate well because some seed of favoritism have been sown by the parents. I don't know whether I have any witness here. Is it not true? There are some homes where the siblings cannot see eye to eye because they feel that the parents have shown so much love and that even if he does anything wrong, they'll say they will overlook it. But if you are the one, they will punish me. That is favoritism. Anything he does is right. Anything she does is right. Whereas other people, if they do that same thing, say, look at you. Eh? I wonder whether you really came from my, I'm glad you're really my child. At times you hear some parents so utter something to wonder. So some children wonder, are these my parents or someone else? So that's one classical example. So brethren, we have to make every effort, especially parents, not to begin to make a distinction amongst the siblings because it is extremely dangerous. Let's look at what about workplace? When in a workplace you begin to do partial and selective and partial treatment of workers, maybe you are over tolerant of some and you are terribly intolerant of some others. When A comes late, you just I have no problem at home today. Say, no problem. He's coming at 9 o'clock. When other person come at 8 o'clock, say, and this is the time you're coming. If I give him query. If I in a month, I may give three queries. The other one comes anytime, comes just because either that person buys you some gifts, just like some lecturers. They receive gifts. I was telling some of my students today, there are some lecturers, even the shares they wear, they are bought by students. I say, how do you feel? Some of them, when you go to the offices, you see bottles of wine that they have been drinking. It's not their wife or their, it's bought by students. So what, how do you feel? You demean yourself. So, brethren, when as a head of department or head of any unit, and somebody's working under you, and the person not doing the right thing, you are not able to correct him or her because of the favorites you've now, maybe some relationship that has now become too familiar, which persons are exploiting. That is there. It should be so that you don't have some Christians, some people have more than double, they have multiple standards. When you begin to have multiple standards or double standards, it's still part of favorite and it is sin. You should be seen, let your yes be yes, and let your measurement for accepting what is right and what is wrong should be consistent. Not looking at people's faces, or because it's from your place, or it speaks your language. For some, any small thing is a means of showing favorite, being partial. Anything. Just by the way, favorites have to also do with. It's a discrimination part of a favoritism. They discriminate. You've been to discriminate. Not because the person has done anything. I beg. You don't ever say anything good about that person. It's part of it. So we have to be very, very careful. When I, for the many years I was head of department and all that, when my junior workers, the non-academic staff, they are supposed to resume at 7:30. I give them a period of grace of about 30 minutes. After that, I rule a line. And when you come later, you have to, hey, they say, hey, HOD don't. So they will run. They know that it doesn't matter whether you speak my language or not. In fact, there was a particular one. It's from Obiariko. That one, at a point in time, if it were possible, he would have looked for something to kill me because I was on his team because he was so unruly. He comes to work anytime. I said, I will not give you any breathing space. I'll give you close marking. Because whether you speak my language or not, that is immaterial. You must do the right thing and you must be seen to be doing the right thing. That is what God expects from us, brethren. But a number of times, we do some adjustments and which is not acceptable. Then in the church, we have what I call the Paul Apollos Cephas syndrome, as we have it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas. And so you have cliques. If you don't belong to that one, then you say, that. And unfortunately, these things are real and they exist. And they are evil. And they are things that we must condemn and resist as much as possible. Why should there be clique formation? When the Lord has said that there's nothing like Greek, no Jew in the household of God, no male, no female. So why should I not be to say, this is my group. I belong to Reverend Jobe's camp, or I belong to this person's camp. We should belong to Jesus' camp, not that camp. Praise the Lord. Then the larger society, we also have instances of favoritism and discriminatory treatment based on unacceptable or double standards. We want to now look at the scriptures. Why is favoritism condemned? Because if you recall what we read in James chapter 2, it is condemned. Why is it condemned? If it's a good thing, it cannot be condemned. Number one, favoritism is inconsistent with God's character. It is inconsistent with God's character. That's not part of God's character. God is consistently righteous and does not have double standards. So favoritism is inconsistent with God's character. And if we say we are God's children, we must exhibit the character of our God, of our master. We should be imitators of our God who does not show favoritism. There are quite a number of other scriptures we want to look at just to drive home the point that favoritism is inconsistent with the character of God. Let's look at Romans chapter 2, verse 11. Romans 2, verse 11. For there's no partiality with God. In Pidgin, they're saying partiality. No, God not the day partial. There's no partiality with God. Look at it. For there is no, if you like, you can underline it or make it bold. There is no partiality with God. So, partiality is inconsistent with the character of God. So, anybody who is exhibiting favoritism is not exhibiting the character of God. And the next scripture, Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. We remember? So, even the Holy Spirit, God gives to anybody. Of course, remember, that has to do with the Cornelius. God is not partial. What he does for the British Christian, he will do for the Nigerian Christian. What he does for the Jewish Christian, he will do it for the Togolese Christian. It's not a partial God. It's not. Because otherwise we mean that he's no longer concerned with his character. Yet another scripture, Job 34, 19. Job chapter 34, verse 19. Yet he is not partial to princes. Let's take note of this scripture. Yet he is not partial to princes, nor does he regard the rich more than the poor. But in our society, a number of times we regard the rich more than the poor. The rich people are the ones stealing our money. Rich thieves. He said, he is not partial to princes, nor does he regard the rich more than the poor. For they are all the work of whose hands? Of his hands. God is not partial. God, our God, is not partial. So as we go through the scriptures, let us begin to examine ourselves. Am I partial? Have I been partial? And if you have been somewhere along the line, it's not too late to ask God to forgive you. And just before we leave that, let's look at Malachi chapter 2, verse 9. Malachi. Okay? Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but you have shown partiality in the law. This is something that could happen to somebody who keeps showing partiality, who is being partial and showing favoritism. God can do away with you. I pray that this will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Number two, favoritism is contrary to God's values. The first one we said, it is inconsistent with God's character. And the second one is that favoritism is contrary to God's values. Let's go back to James that we read. James chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings, well-dressed, shining, in fine apparel, and there should also come a poor man in filthy clothes. Verse 3. And you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place. And say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Some years ago, my wife and I went for a program at St. Andrew's Cathedral at Warri. And the ushers, if you see the way they were driving some children who were just saying, come on. As if they are driving animals and rats. Make a better place, sit down. Hey. I was just wondering, what has now made these children useless people? Just because they came early and they were even sitting almost behind you. Say, come on, make better people sit down, because you saw some people who were in shining robes who have just walked in. They must be accommodated. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. So, still let's look at verses 5 and 6 of the same year, James chapter 2. 5 and 6. Listen, my beloved brethren, Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? And six. But you have dishonored the man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you to the courts? When I think there are many rich, righteous people, there's no doubt about it. But they also will have more of rich thieves, I call them. Like one I saw some time ago. I don't know how many fleet of cars he has. His source of livelihood, don't know. Just like as we're driving now, you see many stores in Abraka now, glittering with light, shining. You don't see any customer going, you don't see any customer coming out. But the owner is a big boy with a lot of money. And when it comes to maybe to a place like this, some people just, because he's well-dressed. I think they have a name now, they call them, the boys in white robe or whatever they are. Brethren, we should be very, very careful. We should be extremely careful what we do and how we disparage those we think are too lowly and just ordinary and over elevate those who have nothing to offer, but we think that they ought to be given the pride of place. It's very, very, we have to be very careful. But as I said this, we should also look at the other side of the medicine. If somebody who is respectable comes into our church too, there's no harm in giving him a good seat. That's different from just driving a child who has come in early. In fact, I've also seen the other side of it. Sometimes I've seen some young boys and young youths. They just sit down in a vehicle, if it's a bus, well-seated, and then they see an older person coming and say, huh? If he wants to sit down, if I come early now, they just squeeze their face and sit tight. That one's also wrong, bro. I don't know why you get what I'm saying. We should respect people who are elders. We're not saying that one's not favorite. That one, we are respecting their age. I can't, like today I went somewhere and I saw one man that I knew when I was in primary school. So, and the man, he just said, I had to greet him well. I won't say, this man is still like this. This man, where is he safe? We have to be very, very careful. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Then the third one, because we are saying why favoritism is condemned, the third one is sin in verse 9. Favoritism is sin. There's no two way about it. Favoritism is sin. There's no other word for sin. It is not good. It's unacceptable before God. It's unacceptable before man. Look at what it says. But if you show partiality, you commit sin. That's what the Bible says. If you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted. When you are convicted, you are sentenced now. When you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. I just pray that the Lord will help us as we go through this thing so that we will know what we are supposed to, where we are supposed to be, and what God expects us to be doing, and what we have been doing. Okay? Are there some dangers? Are there some dangers in showing favoritism? Are there some dangers? Number one I have here is, it will create resentment and ill feelings. Resentment and ill feelings. People just begin to, it's like once people see that you are a specialist in favoritism, it's like even your sight is offensive to them. Say, you don't come again. Like, we know what you're talking about. We know the people you're going to choose. We know those you will call. So it brings resentment. It leads to jealousy. Because as you keep showing favoritism, the ones who are the beneficiaries now become targets of those who are not enjoying the favoritism. They become targets. Say, This one, that one, I nine picking now, nine boy, nine PA, nine this. All sorts of names will begin to emerge because of favoritism. So the resentment, jealousy, ill feeling can begin to crop up. And if care is not taken, if it's not properly handled, it could end, have a catastrophic end. Of course, you know, let's go back to the story of Joseph. If God had not had mercy on him, their plan was to kill him. Was that not the case? Say, let us kill him and tell our father that there's some wild beasts eating. So if not for one of his brothers, was it Reuben who said, no, let's sell him to the slave traders. So you can imagine, some people may have lost their lives as a result of favoritism that was overblown and overprojected. Some people have become targets. Some people have been attacked physically, some spiritually, because they were beneficiaries of favoritism. Are there other dangers? Yes. Number one, I've said about three things there. We've said resentment, jealousy, and ill feelings, and can also even lead to a catastrophic end. Then number two, it can break team spirits. Where people were working together, for when I begin to show favoritism, then team spirit is broken. I say, what will I be doing? My own not getting it, so let him take sister A or brother A that he likes. So the unity and the bonding that was there before begins to disappear, begins to evaporate because of favoritism. So it's dangerous, extremely dangerous. And as that goes on, you have disunity. Unity, the center will no longer be able to hold. You have disharmony, disaffection, and people begin to feel negatively towards others which was not there before. It's just like for some of us who worked in Abraka, all my work in all my life was in Abraka. The only little job I did outside of Abraka was just when I finished my high school, before I went to the university, when I taught for just 9 months, which was the case at that time. Finish your HSC, you wait for about 9 months, so the last September, then you can go to university. That was when I taught in a Catholic seminary. That's why I know so much about the Catholic people. So when I tell them about it, they begin to wonder. I say, I know everything about you, because I taught in the Catholic, I trained Reverend Fathers. I told them, I say, even somebody like, say, professor here, was one of my students in the seminary that time. But that is a story for another day. The point I want to make is that we worked here, and I worked here for about 44 years. I'm still here. I came to Abraka in 1977. And when we came and we were working here, nobody cared where you came from. Whether you're Urhobo, whether you're Isoko, whether you're Yoruba, nobody cared. But over time, things started changing. And we started hearing some things like Ekoko Motor. You know, you don't belong to this one. You don't belong to that and all that. Before you want position, you must go and see those people. Which that is favoritism. Nepotism is an aspect of favoritism. So it is wrong. And people say, hey, let them just. Number three danger is that it could lead to depression. Especially for the one who is the victim of the, who is not being favored. Because once you're not being favored, it's like you are just excluded. When they have meetings, they will have meeting before meeting and take the decision before you come. So when you come, they say, hey, you're because they have finished the meeting before you came. They have their inner, they have their caucus meetings. It has been finished with. So you just be floating. You don't, they all, even when you make a point, they will just knock it off. And if you don't have your stand and your stand in the Lord, it could lead to depression. It could lead to depression. See, what have I done to them? What have I done that I should deserve this type of treatment? Because of favoritism. And the next one is that it could lead to anxiety. As you are, if you are not one of those, if you are not one of the persons favored, you're like, hey, I don't know what will happen to him. Hey, I don't know what you will say. Even when I call, LEC, they say I call it. If I didn't want to do, this is a real, and it's most unacceptable, and we have to pray that the Lord will help us to overcome this. And if you know anybody who is a victim of this, pray for the person. And if you know anybody who is perpetuating this, pray the Lord will deliver such a person from such actions. You know, there are some people, they are not happy until they see you unhappy. They are sages. They're only happy when they see that some negatives and some ill woes have befallen you. And when you have anything good, they'll be unhappy. I recall some years ago, many years ago, I just told a colleague that he saw a book in my hand. I said, it's my book. I have a second one. And his spirit dropped. When he should be happy with me, his spirit dropped. He's not in my department. We're not in the same faculty. I just said that. And that shows you his feelings are negative towards me. And there are many people like that. So what good can that person ever think of you? He will love to do anything possible to make you unhappy. But once that person died for, and that person died for their family again. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. And the next one, I think that should be number 5 or 6 now, of the dangers that it could lead to low morale. Your spirit comes down. It's like saying you can no longer put in your best anymore. It's like saying, because even when you put your best, it will not be recognized. It will not be commended. No matter what, whether it's the other person who will do less than what you have done, the person will be so commended and praised, and they write big recommendation for the person. So that person, he's so diligent in his business, and he's a punctual and a diligent and hard worker. Whereas you who work more than that person, they say your own is nothing. Your morale will just come down. I say, what will I do to have something positive instead of this negative reports all the time? It leads to low morale. And it can happen even in the church. When somebody is always working and then there's no commendation. Some people, maybe after sweeping, some person will just come to church on a particular day, just say, you don't sweep. How the place where you sweep be? How it be? And instead of saying, thank you for it, you will check the place to see whether there's just. See, and you say you don't sweep. What do you sweep? Which can clean you do so? You can't, ordinary sweeping, you can't do. Whereas some other person will come, after sweeping, there are still litters and all that. You say, yes, you've done a good job. So why wouldn't the person's morale be low? And the person will begin to withdraw. There's a withdrawal syndrome. As if begin to recoil and begin to feel so unloved, unaccepted, as if, hey, maybe they don't even want me. What will I do? You feel so, your self-esteem will drop so drastically and so terribly. And then, on this note, I also say that favoritism can also promote mediocrity. It can promote mediocrity because instead of going for excellence and for merit, you are going for some other mundane factors and reasons for either recommending somebody or for putting on someone else. It's a terrible thing, and that is what happens. In other words, so what is the way forward? The way forward is the Jesus way, which we read at the beginning. Let's go back to some of those scriptures we read at the beginning, because that's the way forward. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. We should not. We should not hold it with partiality. In fact, there's a scripture, I didn't give it to you, media. I think 1st or 2nd Corinthians chapter 4, 2nd Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, let's see. 2nd Corinthians 4, media, where I can get it, let's see. Uh-huh, very good. This is one of the ways out. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, let us, we should not lose heart. Verse 2. Uh-huh, this is the real thing. But we have renounced hidden things of shame. Some other scriptures were hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. For some of us, it's like a life of pretense. You know you are pretending. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For me, this is the heart of the whole thing. That if you must live a life that is void of favoritism, then you must renounce all those hidden things of shame. Stop walking in craftiness, thinking that you are very wise, and not handling the word of God deceitfully. You know, this word of God, people can use it for anything. That is why we have the multiplicity of churches these days. Yesterday I was showing my wife on Facebook, there was something somebody, a program is trying to organize. And what was that program? You shall not be broke. You shall not be broke. You shall not be broke. Of what spiritual value is that one? You shall not be broke. So we can conclude that favoritism has all the negative connotations. Favoritism is sin, and Christians should be, as much as possible, be fair in all their dealings. Let us be fair in all our dealings. Whether at home, in a place of work, in the church, in the fellowship, or in the wider society. Partiality and discrimination are almost two sides of the same coin, and are closely related, and as such, must be avoided at all times. At all times. I pray that the Lord will help us. I will pause here so that if we have comments, contributions, or queries, we can take them. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.